Turning please to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we will turn back then to John chapter 17. We're looking at John chapter 17, verse 17. But I want to preface that reading with Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus was a particularly ungodly city. It was where the goddess Diana was worshipped, and the temple was there in Ephesus. And so Paul is dealing with this countering the people of God with the city and with the environment of the church and the people in Ephesus. Let's read from verse 14. He has, in verse 11 to 13, dealing with the preachers and the gifts that the Lord has given the people in order that they might be made perfect, in order that they might be edified in the body of Christ. Verse 14 then, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's turn back to John chapter 17, please. 17th chapter of John, where the Lord Jesus is praying here to the Father concerning his disciples. In particular, he's speaking of the disciples, the apostles, but I think it can be applied then to all disciples, of which we are a part of that group. And so the Lord Jesus says, in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. We'll end our reading there, having read verses 16, 17, and 18. And these three verses form a very interesting and significant trilogy of thought. They are not of the world, the Lord says. Therefore, sanctify them. And we saw that verse 16 is not speaking of a moral separation from the world. It's speaking of a legal separation from the world. They are not. That's not who they are. They are believers. They are the children of God. They do not belong to the world. They belong to me. So that's a legal, positional place that the Christian is. And so Christ says, they are not of the world, therefore sanctify them. And here's the rub. Since, verse 18, I have sent them into the world. I don't want you to miss the significance of those three thoughts in this little context. They don't belong to the world. Lord, sanctify them, since I have sent them into the world. Another way to state this prayer of the Lord is to reverse the order of the Lord's words from verses 18 to 16. And we could put it this way. I have sent them into an environment that is not naturally their environment, to which they don't naturally belong. Therefore, purify them. And that's a significant prayer. The Lord's saying, I have sent them into an environment to which they don't belong. Therefore, purify them, sanctify them. We conclude also another aspect of the world, the worldly environment, and say that the Lord's purpose is to not only sanctify us in this environment of the world, but he is sanctifying us through this environment of the world. He is using the adversities. He is using the temptations. He is using the struggles and anxieties and stuff of life to sanctify us as a purpose. That's another additional thought. But it's the thought of the Lord sending us into this adverse society, this adverse environment in which we live, and the prayer that in that environment, the Lord would sanctify us. Now, if you notice previously, in the verse 15, the Lord prays that they would be kept from evil, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. There's a difference between being kept from evil and being sanctified. The difference is protection from evil and progression in righteousness. You see, we are protected from evil, and the Lord will protect us from evil. And he does protect us from evil, but protection from evil is not sufficient. It's not enough. And we're to pray that the Lord would not lead us into temptation, but that is not sufficient. It is not sufficient, beloved, that I do not engage in certain sins. It is not sufficient that I am protected from certain unrighteousnesses in the world. There's a progression that is necessary. There's a development that the Lord says is necessary, that is the flip side of our justification, and that is that we are sanctified. We can't have justification without sanctification, and we can't have sanctification without justification. They both come together. And if the Lord has justified me, if he has brought me into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by faith, then it is his purpose to progress me, to develop me, and to sanctify me. And that's what he's praying here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord's prayer for sanctification, for the sanctification of his people here, is, as I said, in a very strategic place. I think sometimes we miss the place that the Lord puts these certain prayers, and we run through them and see them as isolated statements. But this is not an isolated statement. The Lord places these prayers. The Lord's mind is logical. His prayer is logical. And it's progressive. He is building on something here. And so it's in a very strategic place. And it has placed us as God's people in the context of this ungodly, hostile, adverse world. And in that environment, he prays that we would be sanctified. I want to put it in a few other ways, because this verse highlights the stark contrast between the world and the Christian. This is what Paul is doing in Philippians 4, or rather Ephesians 4 that we've read. He is highlighting the contrast between the Ephesus that the Gentiles know and knew, and the Christians who are now living in Ephesus to whom he's writing. He said that you walk not according to other Gentiles, that your mind is changed, that your heart has been changed. They walk after the ignorance, and this picks up on what we've learned last week in our morning worship, and what we're going to progress in this morning in our morning worship. They walk after the ignorance of their hearts. They walk after the intelligence and instruction of the Lord. And there's this stark contrast. They're in this environment, the Lord says, and I want you to sanctify them in that environment. And what he's praying is that he would purify us in an impure environment. He's praying that he would make us godlike in a godless environment. He's praying that he would make us spiritually minded in a material environment. He's praying that he would draw us heavenward in a hell-bound environment. An environment that is deserving of the curse and bound towards the curse of hell. And the Lord is praying that the Christian would be like the salmon in the salmon run, strong and swimming against the current, the prevailing current, as Paul said to the Ephesians, that they are not driven about by every wind of doctrine, but that there might be an opposition to the world, that they might progress despite the opposition of the environment that they're living in. Now that's the prayer. And I want you to think of that. The Lord is praying that we as God's people might grow in Christ despite the environment that the Lord has placed us in. Whatever that environment is, and I've been speaking of it in very broad terms this morning with regard to the world. But it comes to my mind as I speak that even in the particular environment that I live in and the particular environment that you live in, the Lord's prayer to sanctify us is to purify us and to develop us and to grow us in that particular environment. And by that environment that we become better people, better men and women, stronger men and women, more devoted to the Lord, seeing Christ more in the environment in which we live. This is the prayer, beloved. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And when we see it in these terms, we see the difficulty then. If you've been following along with me, and seeing the contrast between the world that we live in and what we're meant to be doing and meant to be, you see the difficulty. The difficulty of sanctification. It's a hard process. It's a difficult work. It's not easy. And it is set in these terms for a purpose. We falter, we fall. It seems like very often we take one step forward, two steps back. And it seems like very often that we find ourselves right back where we've begun, and we get up and we brush ourselves off and we look to the Lord again and we move forward. Why is that? As a Christian. Why is that? Because we're frail. Because we don't look to the Lord. Because we don't use the instrument, as we're going to see that the Lord is saying here, through thy truth, thy word is truth. But the fact that we get up, and understand what I'm saying here, the fact that we get up and dust ourselves off and look to the Lord again proves that we're his children. Proves that we have heard him. proves that we love him. And so we read the word, and we love the word, and we mourn when we fail to practice the word. And that, beloved, is an evidence of our childhood. It's an evidence of our love for God. And so we need to be encouraged. Though we do fall, though we do falter, though we do take two steps back, and we get up again and we move forward, we need to be encouraged that that very fact that we want to move forward with the Lord is a proof that we're his children. Now, the Lord prays this, and I have just a few simple thoughts with regard to this prayer, that the struggle against the world, the context, and the environment that the Lord has put us in is possible only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. That's why Christ is praying to the Father here. You see at the beginning of the chapter, these words speak, Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Such an impossible task on a human level. But possible. By the power of God. Possible by the power of God. And this is what we read in Proverbs chapter 3. If you remember those very famous words of Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It directs us to look to him. To his power. To rest in his ability. To do what I can't do. To guide me where I can't go. To show me what I can't see. And Christ is praying here that the power of God, he is invoking the power of God for our sanctification. Because that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Second thing I want us to see is that the struggle against the world is possible by means of the word. By means of the word. This is what Christ says. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. The word through there could be translated in thy truth, but it is an instrumental preposition. It is through the instrumentality of thy truth. It's speaking of the instrument that is used to sanctify us. What is it that's going to sanctify you? What is it that's going to purify you? What is it that will enable you to overcome the world? What is it that will enable you to overcome faithlessness, to strengthen your faith? It's the word. It's the truth. And we've been given sufficient means in the word in such a hostile environment. And this brings to mind to a few points that we cannot be sanctified without the word, and we have sufficient means in the word. Let me give you a few sub-points under this heading, that it's the word that is the instrument of our sanctification. First of all, the use of the word. The use of the word. The Lord has given an instrument. The Lord Christ is praying here to the Father that we would be sanctified. And the Father says, I've given them my word. So I come to the Father and I pray for sanctification. And the Father says, there's my word. Now if I don't use that, if I don't pick it up, if I don't read it, if I don't study it, if I don't love it and memorize it, then I am not using the instrument that the Lord has given me, and I will not be sanctified. That's the naked truth. That's the naked truth. I can't be sanctified apart from the word that the Lord has given me. And he's placed it in my hands. He's given it in our mother tongue. And the Father says, there's the word. There's the instrument through which you're going to be sanctified. There's the instrument through which you will be purified in an ungodly environment. There's the instrument through which you will not only be protected from evil, but through which you will be able to progress against evil. Now read it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. The use of the means. The sufficiency of the means. And it says something of the power of the word. If we doubt, and it is faithlessness, beloved, that causes us not to read the word. It's faithlessness that causes us not to read and pray. Because we don't believe that the scripture has the power to do what it says it can do. And if I don't believe, if I'm not convinced that the scripture is able to do what it says it can do, then I will not be motivated to go near it. I will not be motivated to read it. So it is faith that causes me to read it. Faith is at the heart, or faithlessness rather, is at the heart of every sin. Faithlessness is at the heart of every sin. Faith is the greatest of graces. It's what the Lord gives us first. To believe. And all other graces flow from faith. So I need to believe not only that the Lord has given me the instrument, but I need to believe that this instrument that the Lord has placed in my hand is sufficient. And that if I go in the flesh, practically, to a place and open the pages of the Word of God and read it, I need to believe that there will be something done. That there will be a work between my heart and the Word of God. I need to believe that. If I believe that, then I go to the Word. I will use the means. And I will believe in the sufficiency of the means. And beloved, this prayer, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, highlights the sufficiency of the word of God. The sufficiency of the word of God by the power of the Spirit of God. And so let's not doubt the sufficiency of the word. And then there's the purpose of the means. The purpose of the means. The Lord has given us the word, and the purpose of giving us this word is to sanctify us. That's why he's given us it. To sanctify us. Not to argue about it. Not to debate about it. Not to reason through it like some academic does. But to sanctify us. To sanctify us. The rationals and the liberals have taken the word and they've stripped it of all its power as far as they can. And they have twisted and turned the scriptures into what they think is the word of God. And there's no power in that. Because they have taken the word of God and they've made it their own. The Lord has given us the word of God to sanctify us. If I use the scripture for any other purpose, apart from sanctifying, then I've missed the point. I've missed the point. And this is what I said last week. We've lost the beauty of our salvation. We lose the beauty of salvation if we take the scripture and use it as a stick to beat. Or a talisman to charm. Or an academic point to win over someone else. If the word is not sanctifying me, then it is doing nothing for me. That's the purpose for the word. And this is why the Lord said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so as we live in this environment, all of the temptations and the struggles, the anxieties, the sin, the unrighteousness, the ungodliness that we live in this world in general and in particular, we have not only got the power of God, we've not only got the means of the word, we've got the assurance of the prayers of Christ. the assurance of the prayers of Christ. Because let's not forget, as we study this verse, that this verse is a prayer. It's the prayer of Christ. Christ has lifted up his head to the Father, his eyes to the Father, and he prays for me that I would be sanctified. In other words, Christ is praying for me. Christ is praying for you this morning, that you would be sanctified, that you would be purified in an ungodly world. He is our mediator. He is praying for us. He has sanctified himself in giving of himself, verse 19 says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through your faith. He has set himself aside. He has set himself apart to work out my redemption. But he sanctifies himself in another way. He sets himself apart now in the present to be my mediator, to pray for me. That's what he's doing, beloved. As we sit here on the 1st of December 2013, Christ is praying for you as a child of God. Now that's a phenomenal thought. That's a phenomenal thought. If you're a child of God, Christ is praying for you. And he's praying that you would be sanctified. He's praying that you would use the means that the Lord has given to sanctify his people. And this is what he's praying. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to our hearts.